I'm watching Jupiter's Legacy, man. That's almost done with it.
Ah, okay.
I fell asleep watching it last night, though, so I had to go back and figure out where the hell I fell asleep.
Fell asleep because it was boring or just tired.
Nah, man. I just like once my body gives out, I sit down. It's like, ha ha, bitch, and that's.
Oh, okay. I get it. Yeah, that happens that happens to me a lot, but I've got narcolepsy, so I got an excuse.
Now I
Oh.
just wear myself out all day, and then
Yeah.
just once I sit down, my body's like, "You fucked up, bro," because we
Yeah.
getting some rest.
It happens, man. It's Tuesday though. We're getting through the
Yeah,
week.
barely Tuesday.
Welcome to the show. Today's episode is proudly sponsored by Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. More on them in a bit. Yeah, Tuesday. It's like, I mean, I get it. Like, everyone likes to make jokes about the days of the weeks, but like for a while they just have been bleeding together. And it's like when my son finally started to get to go back in person a couple days a week to school, it finally started breaking up like the days once again. So, oh man. And anyway, so Jupiter's Legacy, how you liking it?
You know what? I'm very, very into the story, and I've never read the books. I enjoy it quite a bit. The storytelling is a little bit different than what we've seen from other superhero comics, and I think that's why I like it. The style is very CW like as far as visually, which is fine because I like CW shows fine. So overall, I'm intrigued at where it's going, especially with the idea of the old guard's way of doing things versus the young kids who want to do it a different way, and
Yeah.
having the idea that the classic way of doing things of bringing in bad guys for justice isn't what's popular in the community. I think they have like three quarters of the population being polled saying that when the main character, I forget his name, his son kills a bad guy, there's like three quarters of the population who's like thumbs up, yep, good thing you killed the bastard, and he's having issues with that idea that people can't handle it anymore and that it's not right, and it's cool. It's a little bit, it's different, I think, and that's why I enjoy it more than anything. Is it like a masterpiece? No, but it's enjoyable.
No, I mean that's what everyone's biggest question was, because sorry, Mr. Millar, but it's not like the most well-known title out there.
Right.
And so when you see the trailer, it's like, oh God, it looks like CW stuff.
Yeah, it looked kind of cheesy.
Yeah, and it also looks like they're trying to be dark and broody in a way like The Boys, but not for the same reasons. as the boys. And it's like, what's going to set you apart? But that idea is kind of cool, because that idea comes up in conversations in comics all the time with characters like Batman. Dude, you keep arresting these people and putting them in Arkham or in prison. They break out, they kill other people. Like, what the hell, Batman, man? While Punisher's like, yeah, you guys are all dumb. You put them in the raft or in Ravencroft or whatever, they escape, and I'm shooting them. Watch. See? They're never going to commit crime again. So it's always been a really interesting conversation in comics itself. I kind of now want to see it because of that reason alone. I don't think we've really explored that too much in live action. Like, they touch on the idea that Superman doesn't like how brutal Batman is in BVS, but it's not a real, like, internal conflict of character of, like, wow, like, I could stop the crime for good if I do it this way, but what does that mean? Like, that's kind of cool, man.
I'm just kind of surprised at how little publicity it had.
Mm-hmm.
Because when, like, the first trailer, the first images came out, it was like such a big deal for about 2 minutes, and then all of a sudden, like, it was on Netflix, and it kind of surprised me. I was like, what? Oh wait, it's out already? Oh, I thought that there would be a little bit more of a push for it, given how popular those properties are sometimes. So I'm gonna ask you, how do you feel about the fact that you and I are in the minority?
Oh my God, what happened between 2018 and yesterday? Like, I can even remember people last year, like when the title was released, making fun of the title, you know, and still ragging on the first movie, yet show Venom rendered in red, all of a sudden, Sony, you're so good, we love you.
I'm so excited to see Carnage on screen. It's like, it's you guys, oh my God. I was like, how do you guys like? And then, you know what was funny is, I was very open about it, and so I posted the poster. The poster is very cool, by the way.
Yes, the poster. We said that on our show.
But I said, awesome poster. The movie's going to be trash.
Yeah.
And I was surprised at how many people were like, why is it going to be trash? Like, what, how are you able to judge this so early? To which I responded with a 15-point PowerPoint. No, I'm just kidding. 15-page PowerPoint. But I was like, you Venom won. And then I kind of explained, you can't set up Venom this way and completely ignore what Venom is actually supposed to be, and then think that adding Carnage is going to make it any better.
Yeah.
And based on the trailer, it looks like you're banking on your laughs more than your action. So what do you want me to say? And also, given Sony's track record, the amount of faith I could put in this is super low, and I'm sorry, but it's not gonna work. And then so to see how many people are like excited about it, I was like, all right, maybe you guys have been inside too long.
Yeah. Let's take a look at something here. Let me see if I can do this right without screwing everything up. I think it'll work like that. Yeah. Okay. So, we had some comments on the video, and then we also had some comments down in our comments section. No way this movie is better than Green Lantern. What do you think?
Well, that's not saying much. You're comparing the Green Lantern may be the worst or second worst DC movie ever made.
Yeah, but I think at least that's got Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, you got that. Yeah, you know, at least the characters were correct, right? You know, the people that the actors and actresses that they chose for the roles, I thought were done very, very well. I mean, Mark Strong and Sinestro, I still want that. So, yeah,
that wasn't bad. It was just terrible writing and a terrible editing and like when I first heard like they were gonna go to how's it pronounced, Oa or whatever when they were gonna go there, I was like, oh, so you guys are gonna like actually show the core. It's not just, you know, Hal gets a ring from an alien. Cool. Oh God, no, don't do. Stop. Race car. Well, what? No, I'm done. Hey, could it stand it? But Yeah, I think I would watch that now in its entirety before I watch that trailer again.
Or just the first Venom movie. So, yes. Yeah.
Look, here's the thing. Well, no, let's continue with the comments, because there's a comment that I was going to get to. So somebody says it might be better than Birds of Prey. I didn't see that. I didn't see
Birds of Prey yet. I enjoyed Birds of Prey okay. It wasn't great, but it wasn't terrible either. Hell, I mean, but I did watch it on a wraparound screen, so it made it a lot more fun.
And I get, can't even do that, I don't think. I'll worry about deleting the spam thing later. No, stop. I thought I could hide it. There we go. Little Shop of Morcombe and Wise making breakfast to the tune of the I'm confused a little bit, but okay. Yeah, it looks terrible. I'm so confused on the tone they're going for. None of the jokes landed. Now this is what I wanted to get at. Somebody later on asks us, like, if we wanted like a rated R Venom. They said that they didn't want to see the movie or something like that, because people are going to make them hate it, and trying to look for it. But yeah, they were like, you know, what do you want, this rated R thing? No, we don't need a rated R. Yeah, I didn't plan on watching the movie anyway, since those R rated R words kept whining about everything. Okay. The Venom is a character from the books designed to be a little bit more mature. Even in the comics, he was the darkest part often, unless it was like a Morbius episode, which is interesting, because cartoon. And I never really wanted an R-rated Venom. I was like, PG-13 is fine for Venom. You could do it. Like, yeah, you could go R, but if you go R, I want horror, and that's got to be well after he's been with Spidey. Spidey's rejected him. Like, you can't just do an R-rated Venom, especially without having gone Spidey first, but you could potentially do like a horror-esque film later. But Venom has a particular tone, and especially right after he first attaches to Eddie, because Eddie's got a lot of negativity, and yeah. Venom's got, you know, just got rejected.
Oh yeah.
So he spends the first part of you know, his interactions with Spider-Man outside of Pete's body very aggressively. And the idea of, first off, skipping all of that, like we said in Venom 1, and then going to Venom's singing and making breakfast. And I love the MCU. I'm all about some lighthearted fun. Like, but it's got to fit. It's got to make sense. It's got to... You got to see where it's coming from. Like, when somebody complains about, excuse me, Thor, like Ragnarok being too far. I'm like, did you not watch, as Thor interacted with more humans, you saw him loosen up? Like, I still think Thor had one of the best, like, most complete arcs out of the Infinity Saga, as far as like a character growth. With him and Tony and Cap getting, rightly so, those big three. But I know a lot of people feel strong about Tony and Cap, but they both just became like better versions of themselves, while Thor became a whole different person in a good way. Like,
and he had one of the worst movies too.
And he had one of the worst movies, and then had one of
but the. But you're absolutely right, though. The growth that we saw in him, and then. I think the moment with Thor that I appreciated the most, not being the fittest person, was when his mom said that, you know, you're always worthy.
Yeah.
And I think that meant a lot to me and to a lot of people, obviously. But yeah, you're right. The growth in Thor and the journey he had to go through from the beginning to Endgame and beyond was very, might be the best.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie, but yeah.
And we don't get any of that with the Venom movie that we got. We don't get any of that with doesn't look like we're going to get any type of growth with Let There Be Carnage either. And
no.
That's the real rub, guys. I mean, that's how we're able to look at it and go, in our opinion, this looks like trash. It's not even remnant. Like we pointed out funny at the end, the chocolate thing. That is straight comedy from the comics and the cartoon. We both enjoyed that scene. You could put that in you could take that exact scene line for line and put it into a better Venom movie, and I'd be still happy with that scene because that felt Venom-ish. But those are only moments in a Venom book or a Venom arc dealing in the larger universe. You know, especially like I said, early Eddie. So, and then. We're missing so much story here, and it's not even like we're dumb or anything, and we don't know, you know, how Venom gets to where he is, but they're setting up personality traits that don't make sense, and it just, they're not explaining it. Like, even in their own universe, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're not, we're not getting why these characters are the way they are. I'm not feeling any type of connection. What do you guys in the comments to tell us what changed between Venom 1 and we all hate it, it's barely making money in America to please Sony do dirty things to me but the lights off so I can get the carnage. Well, what happened?
Yeah. I still remember when they showed Woody Harrelson at the end of the first one.
Oh, God.
I was like, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't say it. And he said,
there will be carnage. Oh, at least they got better hair on him this time around. And that's the other thing. Like, I know they're going to explain it in this film. But this whole idea it seems like they're going to go with the idea that Carnage got here before others, which again, continuity, I start thinking of things like people connected to Venom and there's certain familial ties and certain symbiote breeding things that are birthing things that you know what I'm getting at? Like, it's like, yeah. What are you doing? So Sony, fuck, God, guys, do you not even realize, like, we saw that you teased about No Hero in New York. And then seeing us spider gets smashed. I'm telling you guys, I feel like that is part of, they're going to pick Raimi or Amazing. And I still have that feeling that you might see, and he might be able to go back and forth, but you might see Peter say, I'm going to go be these guys' Spider-Man, you know, because they don't have an Avengers or something. So that's kind of interesting, that line in that trailer and then the spider smash. But then again we pointed out this is very tonally different. Pointed out that Pascal is heavily involved in this, not involved in the Spider-Man one. You got the new streaming it's all very confusing. We're gonna have to wait until December to figure out, you know, more of what's going on from No Way Home. But
the issue is that there's no motive for a Spider-Man Venom rivalry.
Not right now, no.
And you're gonna have to do real hard to explain to me why they're feuding when just the original version, original story is more than good enough. rejection and then envy and a couple of other things and mix it together. And just, I think it was, it's just also missing the fact that they try to make him a good guy from the very beginning,
mm-hmm.
and it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
He doesn't have that run, that development to make him at least an anti-hero.
The lethal times. Enforcer. Yeah.
You know, but you miss the entire point. His entire creation, his character development, and we didn't get none of that. And instead we got some weird thing where it was like, oh, back in my planet I was like a loser.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that? You know? And so
just, someone watching Big Bang Theory and going, oh, this is really popular. I guess geeks must like it too. No, most of us except that guy for some reason. I don't know what's his fucking problem.
No, Venom's not supposed to be a loser. Venom's a badass, which is garbage. Why so many people have him tattooed on their bodies, and why it resonates with so many people, because you feel powerful with the symbiote on you, like a different person that gives you that extra motivation. That extra sense of power,
mm-hmm.
and now you've turned it into a buddy cop.
Yeah, and not necessarily a good one. Less lethal weapon, more
pop out.
I was gonna go with the spoof one, but I couldn't get the naked gun.
Oh.
Naked Gun, which I love the Naked Gun. Those are hilarious movies, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think I might even have a name for this episode in my mind, but I'm not going to say it because someone out there is one of those people that likes it when the name of a show or movie is said in the show or movie. So I'm not going to say it. But anyway, look, that's what it comes down to. But everyone's entitled to want to see this. I just want to know why you want to, like, we can tell you why we don't like it, why we can feel, and yes, we could always end up being wrong, and I've Transformers 1 is a prime example. Prime. Anyways.
I want to be wrong. Like,
exactly.
I don't want movies to be bad.
No.
I always try to find the end of the positives and things. Mm-hmm. I want to be pleasantly surprised. So it's not like I'm wishing that this is bad. I want it to be good.
Mm-hmm.
But given the evidence.
Yep. And historical record.
I can't throw my support on it, you know.
So, no trust. Liar.
Yeah,
her.
Exactly.
But that's kind of what it all comes down I hope, like I said, Transformers 1. I walked into it wanting to actually kind of hate it because of how bad they aesthetically looked, but I walked out going, that was a decent Transformers movie. It wasn't great. It was decent. It was action. It's Michael Bay. I approve. I'm okay with it. So
I'm good with 1 and 2.
I'm good with 1 and 3.
And then I don't know why they had to put Mark Wahlberg in one of them. It was weird. And then you know, as funny as not as a great of an actress Megan Fox is,
mm-hmm.
her and Shia LaBeouf were good in those movies.
Yeah,
I like them.
I didn't.
Not great. They're good.
Yeah, yeah. My wife can't stand her, and I, you know, whatever. But
fun to look at, so whatever. Why do you think she was great in Ninja Turtles? Not her acting.
Well, I couldn't watch that for first movie, and I still haven't seen the second one. But you know, it's what's that? All the best parts. I think it was like a Robot Chicken sketch, but I think it's like an even older idea of a sketch. But you know, cutting down a movie to all the best parts. I used to make a joke about when True Blood was really really popular. I made a joke because I'm gonna get so much hate for this. I am not a big fan of the deep Southern accent. I'm just not. I it grates on me. It is what it is, right? And so that show is not only got people doing, deep Southern accent sense, but some of them doing them really, really, really bad, which makes it even worse. And so I legitimately could not listen to the show enough to even watch it. How did we get to True Blood? Where did that come from?
I don't know, but I was gonna sit
Accents, something?
that.
I don't know. Let's hear from our sponsors real quick, and then we'll let Manny switch it up.
Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. Grow Generation is your one-stop shop for hydroponic grow supplies, product systems, and more. Grow Generation serves customers across the nation and carries a wide inventory of renowned cultivation brands. Go to www.growgeneration.com, where the pros go to grow.
Yeah, I don't know. So sometimes that happens, and I get the like a random memory. It's like something you wanted to talk about earlier. Bring it up now, and I can't remember where it connected. Anyways, you wanted to switch things
up.
That's
why we have our own talk show, because we can. Morning show, we can talk whatever we want.
Exactly. So what'd you want to switch it up to, man?
So let's talk about a good movie I saw, and it's from the 80s.
Okay.
And I don't know how you feel about it, but I thought it was, okay, it wasn't phenomenal, but it was very well done, because a lot of the stuff was practical. And I'm wondering how they got all those set pieces done. Full Metal Jacket.
Okay.
Never seen it.
Really?
And so over the weekend, my girlfriend and I sat and watched it. She had already watched it. She wanted me to watch it. But the cinematography in that film, there's some scenes that were done very, very well.
No, it's Kubrick, man.
And so, no, I just wanted to mention that. Just
Yeah.
I checked off one of those other classic films off my list.
So Full Metal Jacket, for some of you that might not have an interest in war movies or have military fa family, it's kind of falling out of the general film culture. You know, the younger film culture isn't necessarily holding on to that one.
Well, there's reasons for it, yeah.
Yeah, and but even like our generation and the generation before. It was one of those films, like, even if you had no military connections, but because of what the Vietnam War was, and how fresh it was in history and culture, a lot of us, that was like one of those must sees. And it is a very, very good movie. A lot of people turn it off after basic training, and I'm like, what? Why? Like, that's good. Everybody loves Arlie Ermey, rest in peace. But some of the best parts of that movie are much, much, much later. The
Yeah.
sniper scene towards the end,
That was intense, yeah.
the very end, fucking what they're singing. I don't want to ruin it for people that haven't seen it, because even though it's that old, if you haven't seen this movie, like Manny just said, even if you want to see something from a technical standpoint, if you're
Yeah.
a student of film, this is something you should watch.
I agree. And I couldn't believe that's a young Kingpin right there. And
Yes, Vincent.
you have a lot of actors that were very young in that film, and I really appreciated that. Yeah, it was it was like it just technically I thought it was done so well, because a lot of those cityscapes is practically done. And I might have to go in and do some research and find out how that was all shot, whether it was just a big town and or like a couple of buildings and they just kind of flipped the perspective or what. But
I'm not 100% certain, and I can't name all the movies off the top of my head now, but across the world, technically, because we have training sites in Europe. But across all of America's army bases specifically, are mount sites, movement over urban terrain. The term might be different today, but urban combat training sites. And they range from really cheap, where it's like Connexes, containers mm-hmm. that you just cut windows and doors, and you still are able to train how to stack and go into a building and clear it. But then you've got others that are built from cinder block. Entire buildings built from cinder block. They aren't, you know, insulated. They have rudimentary electrics mm-hmm. stuff for lights, cameras, so you can do proper training and whatnot. But those types of sites have been used in movies and TV. Okay. I'm not sure if they go back that far, but I built a small mount site in Germany at a training site outside of Schweinfurt. And we built, was it like 6-7 cinder block buildings of various sizes with concrete floors. It was a 3-week project. So, you know, with someone with Hollywood money, yeah. And that's the cool thing, and makes you wonder, like, when a group of soldiers, you know, with government budget in a foreign country at that can do 6 buildings in a you know, few weeks or whatever, why are we CGIing everything? Like, it's nothing. And cinder block, when you use the right type of mortar, you can literally break that stuff apart and use them again later. Restructure them, rebuild them. They're inexpensive. Yeah, man.
I think more than anything, it's probably time. I mean, you got time to build it all and then time to take it all apart. And I mean, hell, you see how things are with Disney over with the Mandalorian. It's like, hey, we want those mountains a little bit bigger. And he goes,
yeah. Well, yeah. Now that is legit with the volume, with the volume, with stagecraft. I will agree. But 10 years ago, 15 years ago, yeah, man, I always respect when you use a stage, a backlot. Everyone knows the Back to the Future clockhouse is in 1,000 fucking movies. You know, you see it all the time because of how many movies are filmed on Universal's legit back lot. Like, it's not just a theme park ride, people. But I love that stuff. But at the same time, the volume is something that I think will eventually revolutionize independent filmmaking.
If they can afford to rent it out or however that's going to work. Because, I mean, when I talk to filmmakers, their budgets are so tiny. Hell, sometimes they're buying things at Goodwill as far as props. And they have 10 days to shoot. And then they're told, nope, you have 5 days to shoot. And they're scrambling and somehow they get it done. So if I hope that it becomes accessible. But the issue is time and money. Do they have enough time and money to get the backdrops made, to get that you want to put in there, to get all that created? And that's what I do think it might be an issue with it. Plus there's some filmmakers that I've talked recently that they've shot on location because of what that place meant to them, that can never be replaced by anything virtual.
Yeah. I get it. Like 100%. And the volume itself, using it isn't necessarily what I meant to help revolutionize for independent filmmakers. It's the idea that when that technology becomes more commercial, just like VR, just like red camera, you know, 4K camera, oh, not even just red. We'll just go with 4K camera. Cause, it's out of our reach now, but so was chroma key green screening before, you know, and now green screen is so accessible. You don't even need the actual screen. You can do green screen stuff on your Zoom without it. You know what I'm saying? So the simple premise is there, a computer-generated world, a computer strong enough to display that world on a large surface, and then the proper surface. And it's going to take time to see it scaled down, but I do foresee people not potentially having the big wraparounds, but I do foresee in the next 5 to 10 years we're going to see some DIY volumes with projectors, high end. There's some laser projectors coming out. I don't think I've seen the video yet, but I think LTT is supposed to do a video on a laser projector, like commercial end, 4K or 8K too, I think. But when you start thinking about that, like having a 4K laser projector in your house, that volume idea, at least on one wall,
yeah,
does become a green screen replacement, and it does allow you to create a world. And if you can put rocks and grass in front of it, you've got a homemade volume. And that's where I think we're going to get the revolutionary stuff. And I look to great guys like great directors like Robert Rodriguez, who legitimately, for his Boba Fett action set, which was basically the entire episode of Mando season 2, I forget which episode number does, 5, right? Yeah, I think. He did what I did as a kid. I had my Star Wars action figures, and I made fights and new stories and continuations. And while I was trying to figure out what was going to happen between the books I was reading and stuff like that. And he did that with his kids, and he uses his camera. And Rodriguez is such a dedicated freaking filmmaker. He's got his own soundstage in his backyard. And yeah, not everyone's got that type of money, but he didn't always have that type of money. He made his first movie, you know, similar ways like Kevin Smith, shoestring budgets, going into debt, putting life on the line, mm-hmm. you know? And I'm not telling anyone to go out and do that, because the cool thing is technology is meaning that you can kind of skip some of that.
Yeah. And speaking on that, this and what you just said, you know, these directors, these filmmakers put their lives on the line a lot of times for these films. This is why I feel like independent films need to be judged a little bit more for their artistry and their message, the inspiration behind the work, the creativity, because of the fact that they don't have the Disney budget, the WB budget. They have whatever they can get their hands on at that moment, and it's not a lot of money. It's only a couple of days of shooting. And believe me, because I've talked to several of them, a lot of things go wrong. Mm-hmm. A lot of things go wrong that they're able to overcome to make a film. Sometimes it's even things as bad as like losing an entire scene or an entire section of their movie that they have to refigure out because they couldn't get an actor, they couldn't get a location, all of the above. Excuse me. So yeah, just wanted to mention that, because a lot of times your average audience viewer will see an independent film and not really appreciate it for what it is, because it doesn't look like a WB film, or it doesn't look like a Disney film. It doesn't have that production level, but they don't have that kind of money. Just a PSA, just enjoy it for the artistry, not for what you think it should be.
Yeah. And I'll add on and kind of even, maybe jab back in some ways at some of the elitists out there. Also, don't judge the independent person that goes for some sort of big look, that goes you know, that's the film that they wanted to make. They pour their, you know, they make a okay story, and then they pour their heart and money into the effects and stuff like that. And, you know, it's the whole great, great thing about film in general is legitimately, got guys, like an old blockbuster, if that section's not for you, there's another section for you.
Yep. This is very true.
You know, I don't want to watch the video at all, but I want to show an example of scaled down technology. Do not judge me, people. I am very, very much regressing into a full-blown 12-year-old American weeb. But that's okay. I am not into VTubers, but this is an interesting thing about the technology. Okay. VTubers are apparently these, 2D like, streamers. They used to use rigs like this to do it. Like the guy that originally, started the first, virtual, anime characters that were doing like YouTube videos and ads and things like that had to use this rig. And nowadays, similar to the it's gonna make go through an ad, but what it gets through that similar to what I was talking about, how it's shrunk today. Now these people that do this are able to, I'm trying to search for a good shot. Let's see here. So this is what it might look like while they're doing their thing. They're able to do like Twitch streams, but it's literally using the same getup that we're using here. I was seeing if they actually showed a person's real setup or not. I know they did in one video, because it's literally just like our Zoom calls. They don't need that big rig anymore. Maybe it was a different video, but regardless, now that particular thing that people wanted to get into, it's huge and it's accessible, and people are able to live out their weird dreams. So, yeah, that, you know, was a great, you know, nice, clean, smooth segue from straight to film into technology. Speaking of the volume and everything like that, one of the big things the volume is famous for is an Unreal Engine footage test, like tech demo, right? And it's beautifully done. Unreal 4 looks great. Do you know much about gaming engines and like what that means, what they do and all that?
Not really, no.
An engine, basically think of like all the coded code that you need for the game. Okay. That's kind of like the engine. It's what runs the game. And then you can take that engine, that code, and now you can create characters and worlds that work with those rules. Right. And that engine will drive that game. Basics. Okay. Unreal, coming from the people that brought you know, Unreal Tournament, Quake, all that stuff. That gaming engine is one of the most popular, widely used, you know, Unreal 2, 3, 4, and now going into 2.5. Mm-hmm. And there's this rumor that we might end up getting some generation skips, that Unreal 5 games could potentially only be available on the next gen. There's talks of like, oh, you could, you know, build in 4 and you're supposed to be able to upscale into 5, but it's not the same as building an entire game in 5. And so it's kind of got everyone up in a tizzy, because there was 3 Microsoft games, I think, that were announced. Hey, we're putting Unreal 5 and they're not coming out on the series, the one and the 1X. And a lot of people were upset about it. It kind of reminded me, of that conversation we had on Slack. I think you were one of the shit slingers that day about cloud gaming and graphics and how I talked about, you know, yeah, I like getting, we like having fun, people rile me up and I play along, feed into it some bit with fun because, you know, it is. I like being that guy sometimes. And, but there is a point about that graphics thing bringing, you know, how consoles can hold back graphics and advancement in games and things like that. But again, I'll point out, there's more than just Unreal. There's the Steam filmmaker using Steam's Valve's engine. The
How just doesn't want us to play video games.
I can't remember the name of it now, and that's gonna bug the crap out of me. But anyways, Source engine. The Source filmmaker, not Steam. I don't know why I said Steam, because Steam is where it comes from. But Source engine. Source engine's open. It's free. Legitimately, you want to go and learn about making CGI movies and practice your voice acting and all of that. Go download the Source engine filmmaker. Download SFM. Make something. Make a TF2 sketch. Make your whatever you guys want to do. That's a really cool example again of technology being able to put independent animation films into your hands. I can't imagine what it would be like to have that type of creativity and drive to do a full movie, you know, and then realize if you do a little bit of research, oh my God, I can do it because of technology, because how good these cameras actually are. Mm-hmm. You can actually do it, and depending on what you use for editing, depending on the camera you use, you can digitally make your stuff look really, really close to 24 frames per second film. You can get that, not necessarily the grainy stuff, but you can get the look, you know, that speed. It's a great time to be a content creator, whether your content is going to be an independent movie, an independent game, or pretending you're a 2D animated. I got to check this VTuber stuff out. I'm going to let you guys go for right now.
You're just a weeb, bro.
I am loving the anime. Hey, man, I've always loved it. Obviously, we got the podcast and stuff. But yeah, I've been enjoying getting back into the kind of like catching up on the otaku culture and everything. There's a, you know, new Gundam series out. So, of course, there's brand new, what they call Gunpla, what everyone knows, like the models, the Gundam models at the comic shops and stuff. So that's getting big in around the world again. It's fun. It is. It reminds me of when I was younger. What's that?
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying it reminds me of when I was younger and discovering it, discovering anime for the first time beyond just giant robots fighting, and learning that, oh, there's these dramas, these comedies, there's these other action flicks with guys that scream and change hair colors. And like, it's been fun because there's so much I haven't seen. And my wife also loves this stuff and things that we are now getting to watch shows that neither of us have seen. I've spent so many years catching her up on stuff that I've watched, you know, and now it's fun to get to see new stuff. So, yeah. But if you guys want to hear more about anime, you'll have to check out the Animeversal Reviews podcast, which is available on Saturdays, usually. Right now, reviewing Dr. Stone.
So, yeah. It makes me happy to see people excited, especially in America, about anime. Seriously, because my daughter's into it. She's watching. She's what? She said, "Finding Neverland."
The Promised Neverland.
Promised Neverland. That's it. I don't know too much.
How old is she?
She's 10.
Okay.
Oh no, she's watched much worse.
Oh yeah. That's why I said okay.
Her maturity level is a lot different.
No. I meant like okay, like in I would too. Yeah. No. In general. Yeah.
Yeah. Demon Slayer. What else? But then again, her and my niece are also into K-pop and all that. And like it's funny because all of it makes me feel super old. Because I'm like, what is that? Like, what are you guys watching? It's like Demon Slayer. Dad, you know what that is? It's like, no. And like we went to we have a retro game shop called Blue Shell Gaming here in Madeira. Mm-hmm. I have some friends there. Know everybody there. And everyone's talking, and then all of a sudden they start talking anime. And my daughter's just right into it, and weirdly enough, I'm the odd man out.
That's like, hilarious.
It's like, yeah, they're talking about characters, and I look this about the character and whatever and that, and development, and the story, and I'm just like, oh, so this is how this feels.
Yeah. That's exactly how it feels.
Yeah,
that's funny, man. I like that, but you know, as we wrap up, like Manny said, it's fun to watch someone get excited about it, guys. Anime goes back. I mean, it goes back to like the 50s. I mean, some people push it to the 40s and stuff, depending with some of the early giant robots and Astro Boys stuff. But you know. It's when you got your to your 70s and you start getting your Gundam, your Macross and your Golion and all that started seeing some of that stuff spread over to the West, and there's so much more. And the movies is where I usually suggest people that might have been put off by, you know, maybe a younger sibling's obsession with Pokemon or Dragon Ball, or God, if you had a younger sibling that was into something as garbage as Bleach, I said a hit. I can see where that could put people off. And then I recommend movies to them instead, because those are, regular.
Dragon Ball Z put me off. Bro. I was like sitting there like, hey, I don't have that much time, but can you guys like do something?
Can you
like,
fucking end the fight?
You've been supercharging for 3 days. Like,
yeah.
Last time I checked, this was animation. We don't have to sit through this whole thing. Just tell me how long it's been. You know, like Attack on Titan, they're very big on like, it's 60 meters tall. And then it's like, are you sure? Because in scale to the other guy, he doesn't look 60 meters.
Yeah.
Wall is supposed to be how tall? It's like, don't give me stats if then you're not going to make it to scale. You know what I mean? And by the way, Attack on Titan's great, but that's one thing that I've always found odd is that they always are really big on giving you stats and then not making anything to scale.
Oh man.
And I hate their, and like most people, I hate their new animation.
Attack on Titan.
Yeah, Attack on Titan. Yeah.
Yeah. I've not
switched over.
Yeah, I have. I'm not on. The last season. But yeah, it's a common complaint. But the movies are a great place, and we've got some ideas, Manny. I got some ideas for you.
Bad.
The people over at Animeversal have been talking, and we want to help you connect with your daughter some more. So yeah, guys, keep tuned to LR Mornings. Keep tuned to Animeversal, and keep your eyes on lrmonline.com for
what's
all
left of LRM Mornings.
before we transition, because let's face it, guys, it's really hard to get this out when we're not doing it live in the morning when YouTube is terrible at uploads. So the daily cup of genre coming to you live on the 20th. But anyways, LRMonline.com, all your entertainment news, needs, and opinions. The fun things that we got coming up in store. Tech Tuesday is going to actually have a full produced segment. I told you guys about this game show idea with Christine putting together her first computer. We got Marvel Multiverse Mondays on what is it called now? Loki stuff starts, it'll be on Thursdays, but on Monday we're reviewing Spider-Man 1, and yes, it's trash. Anyway, it doesn't hold up. Maybe two will. One didn't. I watched it. Literally. Watched it yesterday, day before, whatever it was, and it doesn't hold up. I'm sorry, guys. It doesn't hold up. Anyways, check all that stuff out. Like, share, subscribe. We broke 4,000 subscribers. If you have not yet subscribed, please do hit that button below. And then, follow us at our little things on the bottom of the screen here on Instagram and Twitter. Benny, what you got going on this week, man?
So today I have it being the season finale of FX's season 3 of Mayan MC, I have a interview with Momo Rodriguez, who plays the character of Steve. And if you've been watching the show, you know that's a good one, especially after it happened last week. So I had the privilege of interviewing him 5 minutes after I finished last week's episode, and man, I had to sit there for a few minutes and kind of catch myself. And then also starting on Thursday, thanks to the wonderful people at Walt Disney, we're going to have a Cruella giveaway. What we're going to end up doing is we're going to pose a question on the morning show, and we'll pick some, and you need to put your answer on Twitter. Make sure to hashtag LRM mornings and a tag at LRM exclusive. And from those people, we are going to randomly pick a winner, and we'll let you know right away, probably the next day. But the awesome thing is that it's just not on Thursday. We're going to have 10 different opportunities to win. Disney is going to go ahead with us, hook you up with a ticket to go see Cruella. And that's going to be done through Fandango codes and also maybe a poster. I don't know. And when are these 10 times going to be? Sometime throughout the next 2 weeks, whenever I feel like it, because I've been given the power. And when you give me the power, I do bad things. So
there you go.
It is what it is. 10 opportunities to win, 10 chances to see Cruella, which looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah. Make sure to tune in. That's going to be the first of many giveaways we're going to be doing. Shout out to Walt Disney and Fandango for hooking us up with that so that we can hook you up. And Absolutely. Obviously we want to reward you guys for being awesome listeners, because you guys put up with a lot of bullshit that we'd say. I mean, sometimes we're right, like Sony, and sometimes we're wrong, like Kyle is 35% of the time. I just don't tell him.
You're fired. Anyways, guys. Yeah, like, fire me. And check us out, guys. Follow us. Keep an eye out. And we're gonna come up with some good stuff for the giveaways. And there's gonna be a lot more to come. Thank you guys so much for listening today. And we'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye.